May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I think quite a few of you know my wife, Sarah, who is also an Episcopal priest. She serves as the Protestant chaplain at Wellesley College and has a parish down in Holliston. And I met Sarah, as some clergy do, at seminary when I was out in California on an exchange at the Episcopal Seminary in Berkeley when I was on exchange from England. And this seminary in Berkeley is the place where our new assistant rector, Mia Kano, is training and is about to graduate from. And just so you know, Mia, her first Sunday here at St. Andrew's will be the 1st of July, the 1st of July. And her ordination at the cathedral here in Boston is on the 1st of June. But back to me and Sarah. So after we got engaged while I was over in California, Sarah went back to England and went to the seminary where I was training in Oxford and completed her training there in Oxford and was ordained into the Church of England. By that stage, I was already ordained and was serving as an assistant in a parish in South London, in a part of South London called South Dulwich. And when Sarah was eventually ordained, the bishop rather kindly placed her in the neighboring parish in West Dulwich. And that's one of the good things about a hierarchical church, is that bishops can do that kind of thing. Just say, you're going there. Her church, All Saints West Dulwich, was a really interesting church. And I was thinking about it recently after the Cathedral Notre Dame burnt down, because Sarah's church also burnt to the ground in a rather spectacular way. It was a fabulously beautiful church. Back in the Victorian times, when London was expanding enormously fast, this rather ambitious Victorian clergyman, who was the vicar there, raised a lot of money to build this church, which he hoped one day would be the cathedral for South London. And so it was a vast building, but he ran out of money. So it kind of was rather stunted. So it was magnificent at one end, and then there was just like a brick wall, and it felt like it should be, you know, two-thirds longer. But just as the church was a rather characterful place as a building, so was the congregation. It was a really interesting, mixed and diverse congregation, rich and poor, black and white, educated and uneducated. There was a former governor of a British colonial island in the Caribbean. There were white, poor, white working class people from the local housing projects. There were highly educated intellectual types. There were immigrants from Jamaica. They were just good old South Londoners. But there was one particular group of people in the congregation who really marked the character of the congregation and really gave it a sense of their calling. And this was a group of quite severely mentally and physically handicapped people who lived in a local residential community within the parish. It was called a Larsh community. And they lived in this Larsh community side by side with their helpers. And every Sunday, they would come to All Saints in West Dulwich and they would sit at the front of the church. Most of them were in wheelchairs. And the liturgy of the church was really beautiful. It was high church liturgy. They had a great choir, not quite as good as our choir, but they had a strong musical tradition. But also they had these people here, and they were often they would make noises and they would be twitchy, and often the helpers would have to help them during the service. But nobody cared, because it was part of who they were. And it seemed like it really helped ground them in the sense of our gospel command today, to love one another. By this, you will know that they are my disciples, the way you love each other. And one of the things that was so impressive about it was that the people who lived with them were all kind of quite young people, in their late teens or early 20s, who were kind of doing almost like a Peace Corps volunteer thing, living with these people. And they were from all over Europe. Very few of them were English. They were Dutch, and they were Germans, and they were French. And I thought there was something really, again, I was really moved by the fact that all these foreign young kids came to London to look after disabled English people. There's something really, I think, kind of deep about that. And I was thinking about them this last week again, because the founder of the L'Arche community movement, a French-Canadian man called Jean Vanier, died last week at the age of 90. And you may have, there were obituaries of him in the press here in the States, but I read his a story about him in the BBC website. And L'Arche communities, you know, are now in, there are 140 of them in 38 different countries, including one here in Boston, in Haverhill. There's a L'Arche community. It's L'Arche, L with an apostrophe, A-R-C-H-E. And I think, if my French is any good, I think that means ark. Is that right? So it's like community of the ark, like Noah's ark. Different people living together. And Jean Vanier himself, I think, has some really important things to teach us about following that commandment of Jesus to love one another. And I think he's got something important to tell us here in Wellesley, because he is the kind of guy who grew up in a place just like Wellesley. He's, as I said, he was French-Canadian, born, his parents were diplomats in the French diplomatic corps, and he started out his career as a naval officer in the Canadian Navy. He was 90 when he died, so he served in the Second World War and, you know, was intending to have a naval career. But then in 1950, I don't know how old that would have made him, he suddenly quit the Navy because, in his words, he wanted to follow Jesus. And he started out by following an academic path and took a PhD in studying the ethics of happiness from Aristotle, and then taught in a Christian college in Toronto. But then one weekend, a friend of his who was a chaplain invited him to come and stay with him at this residential home for learning disabled people, where there were 80 men living in this residential home where this guy was the chaplain. And what Jean Vanier encountered really appalled him, that basically it was like a prison, and you know, they were just not cared for at all. And basically they're just kind of, these people just walking around in circles, you know, doing, no one interacting with them, just kind of shuffling around the place. And so he, Jean Vanier, then after that, he bought a house close to this place and invited two of the men from this home to come and live with him. And this were the seeds of this L'Arche movement, which is now a global movement. But Vanier himself, I think, had something important to teach us about what it is to have a meaningful life, what it is to grow in faith in Christ, what it is to love our neighbor, and what it is to be a strong person in relationship with the weak. What it is to be a strong person in relationship to the weak. He wrote this, that he said that living with, I can never get these words right because they keep changing, what do we call, people who are learning disabled, helped him appreciate two truths. First is that people with learning difficulties have a great deal to contribute. And secondly, by living in a community with people with or without learning disabilities, we open ourselves up to be challenged and to grow. And in particular, he said there's something really profound. If you're a strong person, like he was, and like most of you are, sitting here in this church in Wellesley, a community of the strong, there's something really profound and soul-making to live with people who are weak, to live alongside them on a basis of equality, because it opens your soul up to God. And in a way, the most subversive thing is that the idea that as strong people, we might actually need the weak in order to have our souls opened up to God. That's quite a thought, isn't it? That through our strength, we seek to be self-sufficient. We seek to be self-sufficient, independent. And it's only often when we recognize our weakness that we recognize our need for God, who is our creator. Isn't it the truth that you know, when you're up against it, when you're facing illness or failure, when you feel weak yourself, that's the very moment when you're most open to God. And he felt that, you know, when you were, Jean Vanier felt that when you were working alongside, you know, very mentally disabled people who didn't care, couldn't care less if you got a degree from Harvard, couldn't care what your job is. They don't care about that. What they care about is whether you're a human being. They care about, you know, whether you can love and care for people. And I think that any of you who, well, any of those times when we find ourselves, you know, alongside helping people who are, you know, in situations of weakness, there's a profound, I don't know whether it's true for you, but there's a profound leveling. Because I find that all the skills that society has given me are often worth nothing. And it's really about, can I be in touch with, you know, the basic Adrian, the basic person who I am, to be alongside? Because that's what people sense, isn't it? It's like with kids. Children sense if you're a phony or putting on airs and graces. What kids kind of, they have a radar, don't they, for knowing what's real and authentic and what matters. And this is Vanier's point, that it's through living beside those who are weak that we learn to be disciples of God and we learn how to love. And Vanier won something called the Templeton Prize, which is a major religious prize in the United Kingdom in 2015. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, said this about Vanier, that he sought to turn society's assumptions about the strong and the weak upside down. Those the world considers weak through their disabilities are those who bring hope and strength lived out in community. Those who are strong discover they need the weak. There is nothing less than the kingdom of heaven come to earth. Amen.